What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your host, Armand. Go ahead and hit that follow button on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D Wake Up. I lost like 15 followers in a day.
What did you do?
I don't know. I went on a random, I was really bored on Saturday.
That's the problem.
And I just started rambling about random stuff, and I was out driving, and I guess people didn't like that. So, Oh, well.
It's a fickle world, man.
Yeah, man. Jeez. Team follow back. ClockRadioSpeakers.com is powered by Tumblr. If you're on Tumblr, follow us there. Share the shows. Spread the wealth. Also on iTunes, please, 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 for the love of Pete, vote and comment. The more you vote and the more you comment, the more that iTunes promotes us. And, you know, this podcast that you've known, that you've grown to love, gets to be shared with more people. And what's better than more people? Facebook.com/ClockRadioSpeakers. Official Twitter handle is at CRS Podcast. Every Sunday, 10 p.m., 12 a.m. Eastern, thepulse-radio.com. We just play 2 hours of pretty much whatever I feel like playing. And my co-host, what's up? What's up, bro?
Broski, that's good. What's going on, everybody? Follow me on Twitter at @doc_beats, S not a Z. If you want to go hear my random beats that I decided to put up on SoundCloud, you can go to soundcloud.com/doc_beats. I think that's about it. You talk about the Pulse Radio, Facebook, the site. Yep. I think that's everything, man. So what's going on? What's new with you this week?
I dropped the first single from Kairos this week, Genesis Revelation. And the pre-order for the album is now available at thisiskairos.com. So when you at thisiskairos.com.
Yeah, why should people get the pre-order? What's the big deal? Why can't they just wait?
Check it out, son. Check it out, B. So this is what it is. On May 21st, when Kairos comes out, it will be on iTunes and Amazon, Google Play, all that cool stuff. But if you order directly from thisiskairos.com, you're going to get the director's cut. Now, the director's cut has 3 bonus records. And these aren't like, you know, I have these laying around. These will be cool to listen to, you know, blah, blah. No. These are 3 records that significantly impact the whole theme of Kairos and the album. So really, the director's cut is the real album, and the version is going to be out digitally. It's kind of like a condensed version. I'll explain why when we do the Clock Radio Speakers episode for Kairos.
When you say digital, you mean just through like iTunes and all that? Not yes. Like if they can still get digital on thisiskairos.com.
Absolutely. But you can also get physical copies. We're doing a limited edition. We brought the Indiegogo tiers back, a little modified version. So the shirts are back. The books are back. The vault is back, the Illuminati membership, all that stuff is back. And when you pre-order, we're leaking a record. When you pre-order, you get a bonus track, Amy Winehouse featuring Flex. That is, there's no reason why other than, you know, just time constraints. The song was amazing and it's supposed to be on the album. So that's really the full album experience. But after May 21st, the song won't be available. So, highly suggest you pre-order.
And we're serious about this, and y'all can blame me. I wanted to really entice people to get it. So I think I've successfully convinced Armand, and that's my story, that it's really, truly not going to be available. Like, we're not going to, you know, so if we don't want people to pre-order and feel and be like, yeah, I want to get this, so they pre-order. And then 2 weeks after the album comes out, you know, we throw it up on SoundCloud. Like, we're not trying to do that. We're trying to be serious.
Yeah. No. You'll never hear the song. If you hear it again, it's because somebody who pre-ordered it leaked it. It won't come from us. We're not giving y'all any ideas either.
Yeah, why'd you even say that? I might cut that from... No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, other than that, so man, yeah, chillin', what's up with you?
You know, I thought I was done doing some things for Kairos, but my problem is I go around, you know, I'm listening to it all the time. You'd think I'd be sick of it now, but my problem is I get a different track that I really like. It changes as the week goes on.
Yeah, and that's what I love about the album.
So,
what's your favorite song right now?
Probably Change My Mind. But
yeah, something about that sample, man. That sample is like optimal springtime.
But my problem is now, like, I'm listening to this stuff, and so I'm going into like critic mode and I'm like, I don't like the mix on that. And you know, most of the time when I do an album, I don't have control. This time for some of these songs, I do have control. And that's a dangerous thing. So, you know, we'll see. Don't get me wrong. As is, I think all the songs are mixed really well. You know, if we had to like, you know, say, nah, we're not doing any more like right now, I'd live. But I'm going to try to make things better for the people.
For the people. I like how you threw that out there. For the people.
For the people. But no, man, everything's good. You know, a lot of music out right now.
Yeah.
A lot of just random stuff going on.
Let's delve. Oh, I also want to, just kind of covet your life for a minute because
covet
you
my
are,
life.
Yeah, because you're going to a concert next month that should be kind of crazy, right?
Yeah, I'm going to see D'Angelo at the House of Blues in Boston.
Jesus.
It's general admission.
Jesus.
Which is great. I'm taking off like the whole day because I'm going to be off. It's the day after Memorial Day weekend. So I'm going to be off that whole weekend anyway. So I'm just going to take that extra day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my wife's working like a half day. So we're going to make sure we get up to Boston nice and early. Basically, I want to be as close to the front as possible because, you know, I happen to, you know, I own a decent little, you know, portable recorder. You know, I may or may not record virtually every live show I go to, then do cover art, splice them together, and make live albums. I may or may not do these sorts of things.
Gotcha.
As you might expect. So I'm excited. It's the same place I saw Alabama Shakes. It's a good venue. I know nothing about the tour. It's not even a tour. He's doing three random shows in the U.S.
Yeah, just random shows.
He's doing three random shows. You know, I know when he's been touring or been doing shows, he's brought Questlove along with him.
Yeah, Questlove is at this date, I believe.
Oh, see, there now. It's going to be good, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's at this date.
I'm going to be excited. That'll be an adventure.
Adventure Time?
Yo, Adventure Time is great.
Adventure Time is great.
You watch that with your kids?
I watch it with my nephews. My daughter's not really into it. She's not at that point where she's into it, but my nephews are 8 and 12. So
oh, that's perfect for them.
It's right up their alley.
Yo, please.
So, all right, let's delve right into this music, man. What'd you say?
I was like, yeah, man, I could talk about Adventure Time all day. Yeah, let's talk about this new music.
Delve right into this music, man.
You mean Aubrey.
Aubrey strikes again. Cuff season is over.
He's got two new songs. One of them's technically a DJ Khaled song.
Right. And that's the Started From The Bottom remix, which is now called No New Friends.
But before we even get to the song, No New Friends, your man DJ Khaled really, you know, we hear a lot, you know, we making a movie, right? Or a zoovie, right? Your man Khaled, he took the cinematic approach to a new level. And he made a movie. Like a movie.
Literally made a movie.
Starring Novato, Ace Hood. A lot of people in this thing. Although, I don't think Drake's in it. That's right. I forgot Drake's in it.
Yeah, when they get to the studio.
Ross is nowhere to be found.
Is there tension in it? No, man.
No, there's no
tension. I'm surprised blogs didn't jump on that. Like, why wasn't Ross in the movie?
Because they shot it in 20 minutes and he wasn't around. I'm not really sure. Like,
he went to Wingstop. He made a Wingstop run, and they just made a movie real quick. And he got back with like all these bags of food, and they were like, "Yo, we just made a movie, literally."
So he's upset. What's the point of this movie? First of all, for those who haven't seen it, you really need to go do yourself a favor.
Stop the podcast right now and go to YouTube and watch this movie.
It basically consists of I don't want to call them B-teamers, because for Khaled, they really are his A-teamers, right? Ace Hood, Movado. So his people, his label people, are coming up to him with these hypothetical concerns that the streets are demanding to know information about Khaled's album. We could do a whole like analysis up to this point, but I got lots of questions. Like, do the streets even know he has an album coming out?
Who are these streets you speak of?
Yeah.
How come people always say streets? Like, who are these streets? Sesame Street? Is it street runner? Like, what? Like, who are these streets?
And so, you know, there's some inspired acting from Ace Hood and Mavado. Mavado especially. Probably because Khaled decides if Mavado's got an accent, even though Mavado's accent is real, well then I need an accent. I don't know if it's because he's in Miami. I don't know if it's because we all grew up on Scarface. I'm not really sure what's going on here. But basically, you've got Mavado and Ace Hood at this mansion or whatever, you know, telling him, you know, this people are trying to figure out what's going on with the album. And the conversations all conclude with some variation of Khaled giving them dap and then saying, sort of whispering, like, no new friends. Like, we're whispering hashtags now. Like, this was a... It's like trying to make his own meme.
I didn't know that. I didn't think about him actually whispering that. That's hilarious.
He kind of does. You know, he's like...
He does.
He's like, yeah. You know, it's just like...
It's like a chant. Like, it's a... Oh, God. That's crazy.
And then, you know, we get to the club. And then we need subtitles, which just cracked me up. Because we're... Listen, if you've ever been in a club, you know you can't really have a conversation with anybody.
Right.
Right. But they're trying to make it sound like Drake actually knows what Khaled's talking about. I wouldn't be surprised if Drake didn't even know it was being filmed. Like, considering how loud it is in a club, Khaled could have just, you know, jumped up on him, gave him dap, and had him filming. And they could have added the subtitles afterwards. I think that actually would have been funnier. But the whole point of this was to try to get this, like, no new friends hashtag or this, like... To get the East Streets, as it were, right? The Twitterverse, or God knows whatever terrible thing you want to call it. Basically, get people talking about no new friends, and then you get the song. Now, yeah. Before we get to the song, was there anything I missed about the movie aside from the horrible acting, the accents, the ridiculousness?
Yeah, it was just funny how it would just be like. Like, we can't trust anybody. There's people bugging our cars. Like, people are really...
I forgot. He couldn't trust his car.
He couldn't trust his car because, you know, in all mob and mobster movies, you know, you can't do anything in a car, in a vehicle, because, you know, people are trying to kill you. And then it would be like slow motion scene with ominous music in the background. And then... They would like go off. It was weird. Like, why, if there's no new friends, and if you, that was what was weird about the movie. Now I'm being over analytical. This is what I do. I go to movies and I just ask questions the entire time. I'm terrible. Like, if Mavado, Ace, and Khaled are cool, why did Ace pull Khaled to one side and then Mavado pull Khaled to the other side and basically ask them the exact same questions? I don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, you want to get technical. If anybody who's seen The Godfather knows that a real boss doesn't go speaking to everybody.
Right.
They've got the main dude, or possibly dudes, who they, like, sort of give instructions to, and then that person goes and runs off. So Khaled can't even get his, like, mob movie, like, ripoff, like, fully 100% there. But I think the idea is, like, you know, they'd never... I mean, typically in a mob movie, in this sort of situation, you never see a group conversation.
Right.
I think that's sort of what he was going for.
Yep.
But the whole point of this, the whole reason why we spent the last 10 minutes talking about it, is because it was to hype up the first single from Khaled's new album.
Yep.
Which is, of course, entitled, the song's called No New Friends. No, it's Drake, Ross, Wayne. Over a Boy Wonder / 40 beat.
And 40 is on the... Oh, I'm sorry, not 40. Future's on the extended version.
At the end.
Yeah. But that's not the official version. The official version, he's not at the end. They took it out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How do you feel about the song?
I don't. I think it's very mediocre. I think it's very generic. I'm not mad at Drake's verse, but, like, after that, like, I'm good. I don't like the concept of no new friends.
That's like, interesting.
Between this and I Hit It First, like, you normally attest scorn to a woman. Like, you know, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. But these are, that is a scornful mantra. Like, you don't want to make any friends, none, no new experiences, no new friends. Like, that's no. It's like no girls allowed, like in the treehouse. What are we, seven? Like, are you serious? It's corny. It's well, corny.
The problem, the problem is that you're forgetting that this is not like Khaled was in the studio and was like, I want you to make a song about new friends. This was originally a Drake song.
Yeah, this is right? a Drake.
And this sort of springs off from Drake's eternal cycle of, I got to be paranoid because I'm not prepared for success, but all these women and da 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 da. And, you know, he's doing his Drake thing.
Yeah.
Right? But when you pretend like it's a DJ Khaled song, all of a sudden the paranoia of new friends, right, becomes, it just doesn't make any sense.
I mean, to me, it doesn't even feel like it doesn't feel like a Khaled song. It feels like a Drake record. So I don't really attest the mantra to Khaled. I think Khaled just took it on.
I wouldn't expect you to, but I'm saying that's sort of the idea that Khaled wants people to believe. Otherwise, if you didn't already question why the heck does this guy have albums, then you really question why the heck does this guy have albums, right? If he's not providing even like a puff level of, yo, move that hi-hat around, right? If he's not even doing that, right, then what exactly would you say he's doing? You know, collecting throwaway tracks from, you know, Young Money, Cash Money. Like,
speaking of throwaway tracks, I didn't realize how throwaway some of those, especially 60 Minutes of Funk Volume 4.
Oh, awful.
Like, those mixtapes in the 90s and those soundtracks had a lot of throwaway records.
They were always very top heavy.
Yeah.
Right? You'd have even some of my favorite ones, like Nutty Professor. Right? There was some struggle at the, you know, once you got like past track like 10 or 12, you're digging into the, you know, it's either like a track from somebody new that signed to the label, or, you know, you really start digging into the weeds.
Yep.
The most obvious comparison that people make with No New Friends is I'm On One.
Yeah.
Same idea, right?
Yeah.
It's Drake, it's Ross, it's Wayne, Khaled.
Are you sick of this lineup? Weren't we sick of this lineup last year?
Here's the problem with the lineup. So Drake is still Drake.
Yeah.
In fact, you might argue that he's rapping better than before.
Yes, absolutely.
Ross, at best, has tapered off. At worst, he's declining. Wayne is on a straight nosedive. I have no idea what Wayne is like. Why would you want him on a track right now?
Well, I mean, you know, no, yeah. I mean, because we just gave, I don't want to call them props, but we said that I'm Not a Human Being Too. Well, I guess I'm Not a Human Being Too wasn't bad musically, but it was bad lyrically, because it was just one long ode to vagina in different ways. So,
well, but never, I think we gave it props because we have lowered expectations for Wayne at this point. Right. I think what we basically said was, wow, it's better than Carter 4. Carter 4 was a travesty.
Call it a travesty.
Right. The expectations were lowered.
Yeah.
Right. I think the other problem is, you know, the beat just isn't as good as I'm On One.
No, it's not.
Right. So you've got, so if you look at the components of the song, right. So whether it's, so it's, you got three rappers and the beat. So if three of them are either slightly worse to definitely worse.
Yeah.
That's a lot of components of a song that aren't doing as well. But I see people online attributing the problems, or maybe the fact that they don't love it as much as I'm On One, they attribute it to Drake.
Really?
Yeah. That's the feedback I've seen.
Huh. Yeah, especially the other song that we're about to talk about, people have
I can't wait to talk about that. But so
I'm done talking about No New Friends.
You good with No New Friends?
Yeah, I'm good.
You think this will do well?
No.
You think it'll just sort of be a whatever?
Yeah, I think the problem is people are tired of this lineup. I think Drake is fine, but people are tired of Wayne. Ross is suffering a lot of backlash right now, and people are tired of seeing Khaled with these same three artists. So, you know, and then I'm one set the bar so high, you can't try to, you know, duplicate it or replicate it, because that's basically what Khaled is doing. Like, let's get the same artists, let's try to do hashtag rap, and let's see if it'll catch on. And it's not going to catch on because it's not as good as the first time. I don't think this will do well. Do you think it's going to do well?
Yeah, I'm not sure. The only reason why I say I'm not sure is because I will say that Drake's other songs that he's put out and sort of in the lead up to his new album haven't exactly been what I would call commercially focused. And yet they're doing rather well.
Who is it now?
Drake. I'm saying Drake's couple songs that he's put out, right? So 5 a.m. and Started from the Bottom. Have done pretty well commercially.
Yeah.
Right? But those aren't what I would call commercial records at all.
No.
Right? So that tells me that Drake's getting into that, like, I'm not saying he put whatever out, but it's got to be quality, but where he doesn't have to maybe pander to the radio all the time, right? So if Drake's getting to that sort of zone that very few rappers get to, then maybe his popularity just carries this to even more success than I think it deserves. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
But we'll see. But that's the only reason why, otherwise I would agree with you that nah, this is an obvious, like, you know, it's an obvious sequel, and when is the sequel ever better? So that's what I would, you know, if it
weren't for two,
you know, it rarely works out that the sequel could be better. And even then it's an argument. So let's talk about this other Drake song though.
Yes.
R&B Drake.
Yes. He's back
with an unusually titled song.
Yeah.
Girls Love Beyonce.
Yeah, this is like one of those YouTube records. Like, I don't know if you've ever scoured YouTube, and it'll be like Drake Weekend type beat or something like that. And then the name of it would be like Girls Love Beyonce. And you'd be like, what is it? Like, I didn't even, until, you know, one of my official followers on Twitter, who shall remain nameless, tweeted it out before the blogs got to it. And there you go. What do you think?
I think James Fauntleroy is the weakest part of this song. Go ahead. Let me hear why I'm wrong.
No, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong.
Okay. You disagree.
I disagree. I don't think there's a weak part of the song. I think the song is dope. I don't think it's amazing or anything like that. I think it's dope. It is what it is. You can't. The only thing is I was playing this song loud yesterday and the windows were down and I was in a parking lot and I drove past a guy right as the hook played. I had to turn it down.
You pulled the Office Space where they listen.
Totally.
Except for the reverse reason, right? In that case, you got a white dude listening to what is at that time, especially considered aggressively quote unquote urban African American music.
Gangster
rap, as they used to say. Feels like he's got to, like, he can't make it obvious. You had the inverse problem. Listening to music that you thought somebody would think was too soft.
Yeah.
I think the idea of it is kind of interesting. I don't know if this is going to be like a song on the album. Like, this feels like you know, like Club Paradise or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. This totally has gotten me excited for Nothing Was the Same 1.5.
I will say I would have preferred Drake singing the hook, and I'll tell you why. Because if Drake singing the hook, it sort of comes off as one of his, like, I'm just messing around and sort of, like, you know, gives it more of a a casual Drake feel.
Okay.
Right? You put someone else on the hook, especially when, I mean, you're reinterpreting a Destiny's Child song.
Right.
And so, you know, I let me put it this way. Like, imagine if on Marvin's Room, if he had somebody else singing with him.
The Weeknd?
Sure, as an example.
He did that with Trust. Well, Trust Issues was a remix. Never mind.
Yeah, to me, it would take away from the fact that that song, like, sort of felt like you really felt like it was him, like, you know, drunk dialing and everything, right? It takes away from that feeling. And I just don't, I really don't think that the hook is that great, to be honest with you. I don't know, James Fauntleroy. I want to really like his stuff, and I tend to like when he writes. I don't really know how I feel about him as a singer.
Okay. Well, then maybe that's what it is, because I think James Fauntleroy is retarded. I think he's dope. So,
I think he's a great writer. I like him in spots, but I wouldn't say I love his voice.
I like the fact that he. I don't know. I just think he's dope. I don't know. I just think he's dope. I don't think this song is more so like a I've tweeted this earlier. I said that. This record feels like Drake didn't get chose for cuff season, so he's just kind of been sulking in his room all winter. And now that the weather's changed, like, he's outside and he's like letting everybody have it about how salty he is about not getting chose for cuff season. So this kind of feels like his boy is telling him, you know, hey guy, it's okay. You know, say my name. See, but it doesn't give me the same feeling as Marvin's Room, though. Marvin's Room feels like drunk. I was about to say drunk driving. God, no. It doesn't make me feel like he's drunk dialing. It just makes me feel like he's lashing out and he's telling his friend how how bad he wants to be in a relationship, but you know he hasn't found a girl, but he keeps finding all these substitutes. But then they never fall through because they know that they're just jumps and he's tired of jumps, but he keeps choosing jumps because it's all that's available. Say my name.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with what you're saying. I wasn't trying to say that he was in sort of drunk dialing Drake mode, but you know, I was more sort of, I guess what I was trying to say is when Drake is singing in an emotional way or about topics that hip hop may traditionally consider soft, it's unusual to have another man singing with him. That's all I'm saying. In general, actually what I really want to ask you about is I think people in general still have a problem with Drake singing about his emotions.
Absolutely.
So Far Gone came out, let me do the math, 50 months ago. 50.
Look at that.
Right. What are people expecting Drake to do?
Sound like everybody else so they can be comfortable?
I mean, we're going to hear singing from Drake. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. I know.
Earlier. Talk about his interview from with Elliot Wilson. Did you listen to that?
No, I don't. Elliot Wilson.
Okay. Well, if you get past the laughs and the jock riding, I'll use jock. Drake kind of reveals a lot of stuff, and he said, "Look, I'm putting out two records this week. One of them is a remix to Started From the Bottom, and another one because Elliot was asking him, 'Yo, you haven't been singing lately. You're on this 5 a.m. in Toronto kick where you're really rapping.'" And then even they talked about, you know, how Started From the Bottom, like the beat feels like a Wu-Tang record. So you go from that extreme. So he was like, "Yo, where's sing-songy Drake?" And he was like, "Yeah, the other song that I'm putting out this week is going to be in that vein." So if you heard that interview, you kind of knew. And then I don't want to see a song title called "Girls Love Beyonce" and then hear the beat for 5 a.m. in Toronto. You kind of know what you're getting. So if you already don't like that, like, then don't listen to it.
Yeah, but it's the internet. I mean, everybody's got an opinion, but, all right. So you don't think this? You think this is just like a throwaway?
Yeah. Well, he said it was a throwaway. He said this was just something too. He said he didn't like making moment music. He said he didn't like making records like another record that we're going to talk about shortly, where it's really good when you first hear it, and then you never want to hear it again, and it becomes buried. You forget that you download it. and it gets buried in your phone or your iPod or whatever, and you're like, oh crap, I forgot I had this song.
Wait, what record is that?
We'll get to it.
Oh.
He wanted to make music that people actually wanted to create moments with. So, but he said, no, this isn't going to be on the album. He didn't announce a release date, a time period. And then he said, when it's done, you'll know about it. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you didn't listen to it? Okay. You don't like Elliot Wilson. So that's why. It was a good interview. Good 30. He talked about Chris Brown. He talked about Rihanna. He talked about all that stuff. Maybe go to like Miss Info or something and get a recap.
I believe I saw a recap of that. So yeah, okay. I'm good.
Okay.
All right.
So what else is next? What's on the agenda?
We got a lot of stuff. Did you listen to that Big Crit anymore?
Yeah, I played it like another time or two, but I didn't, you know, that was about it.
Your opinion changed at all?
I mean, it's cool. It's got a couple records, but it's nothing. People really seem to like that that Future record that we talked about, you know, the snippet.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I didn't, and I'm a big Future fan, and I'm a big Crit fan, but nah, they didn't really. I think maybe it's because, aside from the song not being that good, maybe it's because we're so used to Crit doing his own hooks, and he's a sufficient hook writer.
I don't think that's it at all. I think what it is I think it's a situation like when you have an artist guesting on another artist's project, you ideally. Want it, you know, there are some exceptions that work, but in a lot of cases you want it to feel like that guest artist is entering the world of the person that they're guesting on, right? So like this didn't feel like Future's jumping into Big Crit's world. It felt like Crit was stretching to make a beat that might work as a commercial single for Future, but it didn't fit really either of them well at all. Right, it didn't sound like a good Big Crit record. It didn't sound like a good Future record. It sounded like a mess to me. Mm. Like I'd almost rather, if you know, there's the talk of him working with Mike Will. I mean, get the Mike Will beat in there. Like go all the way.
Gotcha.
Right. If anything, show us that you know what you can rap on more than just Big Crit soul right. samples. Right. Show us what you Future. Like that would have been better to me.
He's done that. Maybe not definitively, but
on that kind of beat, on like a. I mean, I'm not saying like Bugatti, but like, you know, like Bugatti. Can Crit go into that world?
I think he can.
Well, I think that would have been more interesting than what we got.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, you know, today was a really good opportunity for me to give it a second chance. You know, nice weather, roll the windows down, driving home from work. Like, ideally, that's perfect Big Crit, right?
Yeah.
It's got some records, but there's just not. It's too long. I mean, Crit's records are always about this length, but yeah, I'm just not really what I call inspired by it. You know, maybe it's because there's a lot of music, but you know, I will say I like Shine On more than you do.
Yeah,
King no. Without a Crown. It's almost a little busy, but I still really like it. I surprisingly like Good Together a lot.
Told you. Good together. He needs to push that now.
That's probably the best song on here. And you know, there's records I like in here. Like, you know, I like Banana Clip Theory. I would like Life is a Gamble if it actually had some, you know, drums.
Drums.
That's a dope sample, Ninth. Thank you. You know, My Trunk with Trinidad.
that's the runaway favorite right now.
Yeah, you know, it's I've never been a real big fan of that sort of super stereotypical Southern hip hop, like let me get the guitar out and that whole feel.
Gotcha.
You know, I'm one of the only white boys who isn't really loving electric guitars.
John play the fight riff.
Yeah, it takes a lot for me to really like an electric guitar.
It's a little stretch here. Like My Trunk, How You Love That, Only One, Banana Clip Theory.
I don't really like Only One. I don't really like How You Love That.
I like Big Saint, man. Big Saint.
I know. No, to me, I'd rather hear, you know, Serve This Royalty, Good Together. Like that first stretch is a little better to me.
About talking about nothing.
It's all right. It's okay. There's just a lot of all right, okay. Again, you know, we already beat this to death in last week's episode. So if you didn't already hear that, please go listen. But to me, there's not much on here that either pushes the envelope or is a better version of of what he's already done. Like, a lot of these records clearly slide into, like, I'm doing this kind of record or this kind of record or,
yeah,
you know. I will say, in terms of content, it appears he sort of got the message, and, you know, we don't have, like, four songs about his car. right? Because for a while, some of these, you know, were like, all right. How many old, you know, how many times can you have a song about an old school car? But sonically, it's still sort of the same. There is one interesting thing I want to ask you, though.
Yeah.
So we've historically, over the course of the 95, 96, I can't remember what episode we're at, episodes of this show, we've talked a lot about lessons learned, right? What do artists learn from their previous efforts?
Yeah.
So without question, Crit Was Here and R4 are his two best projects, right?
Yeah.
So which do you think is the best one?
I'm still partial to Crit Was Here.
Yeah, I would probably agree with you, even though they're close. But
still Crit Was Here.
It appears that, like, if you listen to his later projects, to me it's very clear that Crit thinks R4 is his best.
Mm.
Because he keeps attempting to duplicate the songs on R4 over and over and over again. Not necessarily in terms of content, although there is some of that. But in terms of how songs sound, even sequencing to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Right? Songs like Children of the World, I don't think he's ever made a song like that again.
I mean, he's now regulated his deep social songs to like one.
That's right.
So there used to Banana Clip Theory is the only song where he's really talking about stuff. The album had a few more, but they weren't that good. What was the last one? Forever and a Day had Nigga on it, didn't it? I don't want to be in. Was that yeah, or was that R4?
R4 had. Oh, another naive individual glorifying greed. Yeah.
Yes. Maybe that. Okay. So, but Crit Was Here had a whole bunch of them.
I mean,
like, that was like half the tape.
I mean, the
but
problem,
it didn't.
Yeah. It's just
it
the,
didn't, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to say the stretch is just, you know, country ish, Just Touchdown, Hometown Hero, Victorious, See Me on Top. I mean, Glass House, Children. Like.
I mean, but I even like the later records. I love
do too. I love Voices. I love 2000 and Beyond.
2000 and Beyond and Voices. My God. Yes.
You know, you're right. I think he's strayed away from that a little bit. You know, it's like, all right, Crit, I get it. You think that UGK and OutKast are the two greatest groups ever. I understand that. But you can get past that, right?
Yeah, but do you think that this is something that's his fans' fault?
That's an interesting question. You know, and that's why I was sort of wondering, you know, is this a question of he hears his projects and he goes, "Now Return of Forever is what I need to make," or is it that Return of Forever got a better reception, so he's like, "Okay, that's where I'm going."
Right. And I don't know if they got a better reception because it was a better tape, or if it got a better reception because it did grow him into a larger fan base. And that's right around the time he signed with Def Jam, right? Because he signed to Def Jam off of Crit Was Here.
I could have sworn he was before Crit Was Here. I think so.
I thought it was off Crit Was Here. And then R4 was the Def Jam tape. Because then he was supposed to do R4, and then the album was supposed to come out. Because when he did Forever and a Day, we were like, why are you doing another mixtape?
Yeah.
Because that should, yeah, whatever. You, whatever. Yeah, Big Crit retrospective, clackradiospeakers.com.
Yeah, we already covered all this. But no, you know, to me, it's clear that, like, as much as we all champion Crit Was Here, that the, what we're going to get is we're going to get the R4 Sonic Blueprint. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think there is more to him. I just, you know, I don't know. I don't think we're going to get that. That's all.
I agree.
All right.
What else are we on?
We haven't officially on this show talked about Open Letter.
Okay.
You don't want to talk about it?
I mean, I guess.
So, got a lot of hype.
Yeah, the reason why we didn't talk about it is because the day last week's episode drop was the morning it came out. So, you know, Clock Radio speakers and this was world premiered at the same time.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure Jay was considering when to drop up, when to leak Open Letter, because he was worried about, you know, the 8 a.m. release of Clock Radio speaker.
Yeah, absolutely he was. Come on.
You know, I think, you know, it took on a life of its own, you know, the lines about Obama. So then, you know, the White House press secretary actually had to answer questions like
that was weird.
You know, that was and then Obama had to answer a question in an interview.
Yeah.
And where he was like, I have better things to do, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the song itself real quick. We don't have to spend too much time on it. You know, it got a lot of hype.
Yeah.
My first reaction was meh.
Okay.
My later reaction is it's okay. It's okay.
Okay.
It's not bad. It's not terrible, but it's not incredible either. How do you feel about it?
I don't.
Just, you know.
It's whatever. I mean, it literally, like, because, our DJ, my DJ kind of gave us a little flack for not really liking it. Mm. It's like, he was like, you know, appreciate the moment. And that's exactly what it was. It was a moment. It was like, you know, I had logged on to Hot 97 from my phone. So I'm driving to work and I'm listening to it. And, you know, maybe it was the way it was world premiered initially where, you know, if Hot 97 is going to world premiere record, I want to hear Funk Master Flex or nobody else. I don't want to hear your morning guy director doing an impression of Funk Master Flex talking about another radio station who you have beef with that nobody else outside of New York cares about. I didn't like the rollout. And then, so, you know, of course, true Clock Radio speakers fashion, we got the song as, you know, like, I think that sucks. Let me say that too. Like, I think it sucks that people are world premiering songs on the radio and then leaking them to blogs at the same time. It takes away from the feel of it. Like,
you think that takes away from the feel?
Yes. No. Like, if you're going to leak a record on the radio, keep it on the radio. Then leak the CDQ later.
I think it's too, with the exception of music nerds, I think those audiences are totally separate.
They are, but, you know, for people like me.
Well, yeah. For people like you, it's I can understand that, right? Because we, despite our wisdom, still get excited when we hear Funk Flex hyping up a Jay-Z song.
Yeah,
of course. You think we'd learn by now. Right?
Yeah, because he hyped up No New Friends. No.
Flex will hype up whatever, I think. let's talk about Flex in a minute, actually.
Right, right.
But, no, you know, I think it's really interesting, seemingly out of nowhere. And granted, SoundCloud's been bubbling for a while, but SoundCloud is now the place for an artist to release their own music online, period.
No more. This is killing the blog game. That's right. No more bloggers.
They control it, period. They get, because, you know, and yeah, enterprising people, because if you set it for no download, sure, you can record it or you can try to get it, but it's a step beyond for most people. SoundCloud, seemingly out of nowhere, has become like, okay, you can, you know, artists can totally control it. It's embeddable. It plays anywhere.
You can download from it.
If you choose, that's right. So you can control that whole thing. Because, you know, I mean, like, let's say you give it to a blog, right? How is a blog going to, let's say you tell a blog, don't download it, but you can let them stream it. Well, the problem is they're still putting it up as an MP3 in their server. And enterprising nerds like me know how to go digging through the source code of the HTML and plucking out the MP3. I do it all the time. Right? So you can't stop an MP3 that way. But SoundCloud, that's a little different. Right? It's sort of hidden and somebody would have to go to the trouble of like recording it and then like saving it. And people don't really go to that trouble because you can just play the SoundCloud.
Right.
Right. Artists control their own destiny.
Labels control their, you know.
But it's a very different thing. And, you know, as this plays out, I almost wonder if, you know, you say sort of the beginning, I think you just said the beginning of the end for blogs, but I wonder if we'll sort of look back on this era of blogs leaking music as just this like weird transition. You know, like if you're an artist, why would you not put your music on SoundCloud first? Like, what is the rationale? right? If a blog picks it up, all they got to do is embed it. You're still getting the plays, right? You know who's listening. People can share it. They can like it. They can comment. It's all right there. And it travels everywhere online.
Yep.
The rise of SoundCloud is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Anybody own them? Who owns SoundCloud?
I have no clue.
I need to find that out. That's interesting.
Who's selling them?
Well.
Or who would buy SoundCloud? What, Google? They're buying everything else.
No, you know, SoundCloud is they're independent. They've got venture capitalist backing, but that's it.
INDEPENDENT. Do you know what that means? She got her own house. She got her own car. All right.
Yeah, SoundCloud seemingly. So apparently, and I don't know how accurate this is, but SoundCloud is growing by. Looks like 1.5 million users every month. I think that's going to pick up even more.
Because now artists are using it?
Yeah, you know where it really sort of started? Actually, at least for me, is like, I mean, I knew about SoundCloud, but where I think a lot of the popularity has really come from is the rise of EDM, right? The rise of dance music again, right? Mm. These DJs, they don't have iTunes or Spotify because there's copyright issues.
Yeah.
Right? So they can just have their own SoundCloud and go. Right, that's I think a real big flaw in Billboard right now. Billboard can't accurately measure how popular EDM is because they don't count SoundCloud.
Mm.
Sounds silly, but I, you know, all the like you go on SoundCloud, you find DJ mixes from every popular, you know, EDM DJ. Period. They're all there. That's where they live. So, yeah, SoundCloud. All right, but yeah, so you know, you're an artist.
Yep.
You're releasing a project.
Yep.
You got a SoundCloud?
Of course.
Yeah, I got a SoundCloud. Like, I, you know, it's...
I've had one for like 2 years.
But you... I mean, am I wrong that it's sort of like seemingly overnight has become essential?
Yeah. Yeah. You get a lot. You're able to gauge a lot off of your SoundCloud. And if you have all of your ducks in order, you're really able to leverage from your SoundCloud to your other... hubs, your .coms, your Bandcamps, your Twitter, your Facebook. Like, SoundCloud is dope.
Not even that. So like you put out Genesis Revelation.
Yeah.
You have it on SoundCloud?
Of course.
And when you like, so the South picked up, Rapzilla picked up, did they put it up in their own thing or do they embed your SoundCloud?
I've seen both. Rapzilla has their own, but pretty much anybody else, they'll just use mine.
Yeah, and see, I think that's the key, especially if you're an artist that is, you know, you're growing. If you're still growing your audience, the ability to get those numbers.
Yep.
I think that's huge.
Yep. And then even with that, I mean, you're able to do things with SoundCloud, like pretty much retweet. So
that's right.
You know, I've got other artists who have uploaded music that I've done with them, and I'll just retweet. There's the song that I'm on that's on their SoundCloud onto mine. So I'm able to view those numbers just like, you know, it was mine, like it was my upload.
Yeah.
So SoundCloud is really, really efficient.
It's, you know, I didn't realize how much stuff some artists have up on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Like I was pretty surprised. Because I was listening to the new Drake. I was listening to Girls Love Beyonce through SoundCloud on my phone.
Yeah.
And then I went to see what other stuff he had posted up there. He had like basically the stuff that ended up on my 1.5.
Yep.
That stuff was up on SoundCloud. Like I was going back. I was like, all right. I was a little surprised.
Yeah. I mean, now it used to be, if a song came out, like the first place that you would go is YouTube. Now that's not really the case. SoundCloud has kind of taken over that. YouTube used to be the number one place to stream music.
I think for the mass market, it still is.
It still is. But there's another option.
That's right. Yeah, you know, it's funny. So SoundCloud does podcasts now, but you have to apply.
Yeah.
So don't worry. I've applied. I would love to get Clack Ready Speakers hosted on SoundCloud.
That would be a good look.
That would be real nice. Actually, did you... One more thing about SoundCloud, and then we'll go to the next subject. Did you see the... the terrible thing I posted to SoundCloud last night?
Yeah, I saw it. I haven't had a chance to listen to it.
Oh my goodness. I randomly, you know what it was? I was editing somebody else's pack because I edit the podcast on the side for, you know, a little extra. So I was editing somebody else's podcast and I was waiting for it to save. And I forget how I stumbled on it, but I stumbled on the old Heatmaker Smack DVD beat. And I was like, you know, I was never really, remember they put that out as an instrumental after the fact, but it never sounded as good.
No, it looked like somebody, it sounded like somebody just ripped it off of, it was somebody just ripped it off of the DVD, right?
Yeah. So I wanted to go and I was like, you know what? I want to see what happens if I can recreate this.
Oh my God.
Honestly, it was fun just to pitch up a sample plus six again. I totally forgot what it was like.
Oh my God.
If you want to hear a terrible, highly pitched beat, I mean, it's funny, but it's up on SoundCloud. So I think that's all we got to say about SoundCloud, right?
This also pretty much sets in stone how we feel about this Jay-Z record.
Oh yeah, open letter.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think this is? Do you think this even makes the album?
No.
Just to let everybody know, I'm here.
Yeah, like we're working on stuff. And I've got Trey Songz, Swiss Beats, and Timbaland. Like if this was 2003, I'd be excited.
Yeah, but I was gonna say if this is a decade ago.
Yeah, nah, I'm cool. All
right,
I'm good. What's next?
So speaking of different ways to distribute music, it's actually 7:53 right now on Wednesday. We're recording this in 7 minutes. This Funk Flex tape is going to be released through his app.
Yeah.
So you tried this app.
Yes.
So tell the people. So what is this thing?
It's the Funkmaster Flex app. Basically, from the minute you install it, you know, it has like the newest songs that are on blogs are on there. He's got all of his mixtapes, 60 Minutes of Funk Volume 1 through 4 and The Tunnel. He's got instrumentals on there, and he's got a whole bunch of Hot 97 freestyles, current, all the way from current ones like When Good Music was up here, when Kendrick was up there, all the way back to like Biggie and Puff doing Unbelievable, and Nas and Cormega, and yeah, those, they've got the entire Rockefeller session on there.
And wait, these are actually probably in good quality.
Yeah, I mean they're streamable. Like they're not like, you know, amazing quality.
Well,
but
no, I meant like if he's got them up there, that means they're probably the original recordings from like the radio soundboard.
Absolutely.
Not the recordings that everybody has because they were on like someone was listening and recorded.
Right.
Interesting.
He's even taken some from his mixtapes, the Big Truck series and all that stuff, because there was a Lox freestyle where they were rapping over. Hey, I forgot about that Lox freestyle when they were rapping over So Ghetto. This was right in the middle of the Rockefeller D-Block beef.
Mm.
Like, I forgot about that. Good to hear that. That was good. But I like the app. I like it a lot. There's a few things that I would change. The biggest thing that I don't like is there's two things. There's no continuous play. So if you play a freestyle after it's over, it just cuts off. There's no continuous play, or when you first open the app, it immediately plays the first song, the most newest song that got mixed or they got uploaded. So like I've heard that Action Bronson Static Select the song like 30 times. So
maybe that's a strategy.
Exactly. And then the other thing I'm not really big on is the fact that his albums or his mixtapes play. Oh, there's also Hot 90. You can live stream Hot 97, and he has like some of his radio mixes on there, but they're not labeled. And the 60 Minutes of Funk and The Tunnel are all one long track instead of you being able to skip them.
That's terrible.
You got to fast forward through them or whatever. But
these kids don't know what fast forward is, man.
Jesus. God. But other than that, I love the app. I think it's a really good idea. I think it's what is going to happen in the future for a lot of people. People are just going to, there's going to be somebody who's going to monopolize some sort of thing where you can create your own app. And that's how you release music. You don't have to sit at your computer, upload it to SoundCloud or upload it to whatever. You can do it from your phone or your tablet, and immediately you don't even have to download it to your phone. You can just stream it off of this
dedicated app.
Yep. I think that's the future.
That'd be interesting to see if anybody tries to do a thing where they sell an album, but it's an app in an app store. Be an interesting experiment. I'm sure somebody will try it at some point. Unfortunately, the most interesting thing so far about this Flex Tape is the app, because some of these songs, like Love to a Diplomat,
not good at all.
Awful. Song is awful.
I mean, but that's what we said last week. We said that with this mixtape, the track listing is the highlight of the tape. These are all going to be super throwaways.
There looks like there could be some serious, serious struggle.
They are hyping an Uncle Murder record right now. Like, that's the new Uncle Murder drops tonight, and I heard that it's going to ruffle some feathers. It's going to ruffle my feathers because it's an Uncle Murder record. So, whatever. But it drops in 2 minutes.
Yeah, 2 minutes. Don't worry, we won't hold up the show. We're not that...
Let's do track by track on a 54.
No. No, we can't. All right. So what else we got? We got some other new music to talk about. We got
a few things. Oh, did you see this Wiz Khalifa and Currency are putting out a mixtape on
420?
420, yeah.
I actually just guessed that, but
cuz they were going to put it out like last year, but they got scared cuz the Mac Miller thing. Cuz I guess this tape has a bunch of samples on it. So they decided to push it back. And they were going to rework the records.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess if you're a big enough name artist, you got to worry about that now.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't talked about Rick Ross, at least for this episode, enough.
we always end up talking about Rick Ross on this show.
To keep the chain going, right? So previously on Clack Radio Speakers, we discussed the fallout from the You Won't Even Know It.
Can somebody explain to me that
I'm almost on Twitter trying to figure out that acronym.
I was so serious. And your explanation was probably right, but I'm not going to accept it.
My explanation is you got to try to, you know, if you say the acronym and sort of slur your words, it kind of sounds like you don't even know. You don't even know it.
It's pathetic.
So, you know, Rick Ross was getting a lot of flack. He had shows getting canceled. And now he's officially been dropped by Reebok.
Yeah.
Of course, the next day he's posting pictures of him, you know, in the studio with some Nikes on.
With some LeBrons. Of course. Yeah.
I hope he remembers which songs he name checked Reebok in, because now he's got to go back and fix every single one of them, right?
I got you just bleep it out. You just stop yourself.
So supposedly he's losing. I mean, supposedly, because you know can't trust numbers online necessarily, but supposedly he's losing millions.
Three and a half to 5 million.
I expect that he'd lose some money. I guess I didn't realize that his deal with Reebok was that big. Who's buying Reeboks because of Rick Ross?
Oh, no, not because of Rick Ross. I think Reebok is doing a great job with their retros. They saw that Jordan was making all this money putting out the exact same shoe over and over and over and over and over. So, you know, at one point Reebok had Sean Kemp, Shaq, Iverson, Emmitt Smith, and they're going in and they're re-releasing those, and I'm not mad at it.
They put out the D Brown dunks.
The pumps. They put out the pumps a few years ago.
Yeah.
They put out the pumps a few years ago. The Shaqs come out tomorrow.
Wait, which Shaqs?
The first ones, not the Twilight Zones, but those are coming out. Those are coming out this year, though.
Nobody's going to buy the Twilight Zones.
I've already seen them on Instagram.
Just because somebody wore it 15 years ago doesn't mean we need, not even 15, like 17, 18 years ago.
It's hype, son. Yeah, because when the first Shacks came out, everybody was like, those are horrible.
Wait, I can't remember the first. What did the first Shacks look like?
They were like, they were white, black, silver, and blue.
I need to look up. Oh, you know, those are all right.
Yeah, they look better now.
They had pumps.
Yeah, they were better. They look better now. They're not ugly, but no, just I remember when they first came out, they were like, we're not buying Shacks.
But the, the second ones. The Shacknosis.
Shacknosis. Listen, man. Listen, hey, Spalding, if you're listening, can you retro the Hakeem Olajuwons for $34.99?
Oh, my goodness. I forgot, you know, you could get those at it wasn't Payless. It was like.
No, it was Payless.
Was it?
Yeah, it was Payless. Because he didn't want people to get killed over his shoes like Jordan. He obviously didn't want anybody to buy him either.
Well, you know. I forgot about the Shacknosis. No, you know, I used to collect the Iversons.
Oh, the Iversons are serious.
I had serious, the questions, serious. You know.
Questions are classic, the first answer's a classic.
I always wanted the first answer.
Yeah, I had the white and reds. They had the DMX technology on the bottom.
Oh, no, wait. Am I thinking of... Oh, thank you. I forgot about NiceKicks.com. NiceKicks, yeah. 13 best Allen Iverson shoes. Number 13 better be the question. Yeah, it is. I had them in... I'm trying to think. I had them in, like, gray with, like, the black toe. I had them in all white. Those were clean. I had them... I had too many. What's that?
They said they're rich. They're not doing like Jordan, how they'll just do like one color and then short quantities. They're retroing every color, multiple quantities. Mm. Like they're just general releasing them. So you don't have to wake up and wait in line for, you know, they did those with like the Sean Kemp's. Remember the ones that kind of look like a, what are those things called? In the hospital when you're still alive, your vital signs.
IV.
Oh, the little screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got shoes that look like those.
Interesting.
They retroed those in the original colors, but or they made those limited release, but they've released them in a bunch of different other colors. But no, Reebok's done a really good job. Fila's actually following suit now. You know, the stack houses that we talked about.
Oh, they are not.
They retroed the first stack houses. Do you remember the ones, first ones?
The ones that I owned.
No, not the ones that you and I talked about.
I owned the stack houses.
We talked about the second ones though. Nah. The first stack houses.
There's only one first stack house.
Yeah.
I had that.
Okay. So they're doing those. They just released the Grand Hill 2s about a month ago.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I really forgot all about. Yo, those stack houses were ugly. I owned them, but man, they made my feet look like cruise ships.
Boats, right?
Man. Big shoes.
Oh, yeah, man. My
goodness. I can't believe I wore those. Those are the days, man. Bring me back. Which ones did I have? I had black and white, I think.
That was black, a mistake. Whites, and they had the white and navies.
Yeah.
Because those are the only two colors Fila made shoes in.
the original white and navy Grand Hills were, you know, it's a classic.
Yeah, they retroed those last year.
Yeah, I stay out of that game now.
Yeah, I found a guy, friend of mine. Actually, he's a listener of the show. Shout out to Dre Sr. out in Kansas City. He actually does sneaker restoration. Mm. And he is restoring my old Space Jams, the 11s with the all black with the blue Jordan. I got those at the BX in like the year 2000 and played ball in them. Mm. And they just sat in the back of my closet forever. And he told me he did them, and he said he would, you know, do a complimentary restoration for Kairos.
Oh, that's a good trade.
That's a great trade. So, you know, based off of what I've seen him do on Instagram, follow him on Instagram, and I think it's Dre SRKC. I'm just going to be a regular customer. Instead of buying new sneakers, I'm just going to pay him to just restore all the old ones I got. Mm. I got some joints, son.
I tossed all my old ones.
Oh, come on, man.
I mean, I sent the old 574s to you.
Yeah.
But most of my old sneakers, yeah. Air Max 95s.
Oh.
Air Max 90s.
I need the 8. I need the 98s. The gray.
I like the 90. The 90s were my favorite. My favorite 90s. I had them. I had white on white, and then I had the. I had a navy blue.
They need the. I need the infrared ones. The white and black, and they're kind of like a, almost like a sharp like that, like a reddish pink. Almost like a neon color. They just retro those. Those are hard.
The ugliest Iversons I owned, I totally forgot about these, were all black with a black patent leather toe. I have no idea why I bought that. Looked like I was wearing dress shoe sneakers. Gold? No. Black on black on black with a black patent leather toe.
Racks on racks on racks?
It was terrible. Oh, man. Confessions of a former sneaker addict. How are we even getting the subject?
I don't remember.
We were talking Rick Ross and Reebok.
Reebok, yeah. I'm checking to see how this Funk Flex rollout did.
Oh, with the initial reaction is online.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how it did on the app.
Oh, okay. See, if he's smart, he'd have like push notifications, like.
Right.
It's ready. Go get it. Yeah. Yep.
Mixtapes. It's out.
All right. Well, it's out.
Well, I mean, it's getting there.
54 like, tracks takes a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, there's like 14 songs that are available right now. I'm sorry. They're not even in order. They go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 13, 15, 16, 17, 13, 14. I mean, you know, these are things that happen when you blaze trails.
No, they don't.
It's sloppy. A free mixtape. I'm not going.
It's a free mixtape. We the people.
It's a free mixtape that I'm not going to listen to after probably by the weekend.
Mm.
So, and because he put out so much amazing stuff on his app Pride, so I give him a pass.
All right.
I give him a pass.
Speaking of New York, your man French.
Yeah.
He's got a single out where he's the only person on it.
Gasp.
Do you think he chose this because he's the only person on it? You think he chose it because it's the best remaining song that he hasn't put out yet?
I think it's catchy enough to where I don't think it's gonna like catch on or blow up. I think they're relying on Freaks. I think this is just the last leak for him to say, hey, look. Because have you seen his track listing?
Yeah, we've heard like a half this album, haven't we?
Nah, I mean we've only heard it's 17 tracks. I think we've heard like 4 or 5, but I mean, this is like second to Game's album as far as features. There's a lot of features on this album.
Well, you know. So hold on, I'm looking at this track listing.
Yeah, Max B on the intro.
Oh, you know what it is? It's because all these bonus tracks. Like we heard Ocho Cinco, we heard Marble Floors.
Right.
We've heard Freaks, we've heard Pop That. And then we heard What's the single that he just put out?
The record it just on that.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know. It's French. When is this record coming out? May 21st. Oh, we still got a little. May 21st is going to be a big day.
May 21st is crazy. You know, when we planned out, we were like, you know, there might be a little window here, and that's just. Everybody saw that window, I see. Because you've got now you got French, you've got Daft Punk. They're coming out on May 21st too, right?
Yeah, let's talk about Daft Punk.
Okay.
I can't say I'm a real big fan of Daft Punk historically.
Right.
Unlike seemingly every other white person with a Twitter account lately.
Right.
But I want to give them credit for this rollout.
Rollout is serious.
You know, they've got this video series where they're talking with all the people they collaborated with on the album.
I have to do that so bad.
They had a teaser on SNL. Then they had Then they had the extended video at Coachella. Then they had another teaser on SNL. So you got people, fans are begging for this full version of the single.
They're
splicing together the two versions to make one complete version. Like that's when you know you got fans. But this first single with Pharrell and Nile Rodgers.
Yo, hold on. Before that, don't forget that they used Vine to reveal the track listing.
They used Vine to reveal the track listing. Genius.
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 Because Vine is like next up. Like that's about to be the next app.
They got who else they working with on the album? Oh, they they're not really working with, but they somehow like talked. They like, so the guy, oh, what's his name? The guy who did the Scarface soundtrack, he did
Giorgio Moroder.
Moroder or whatever. Yeah. They sat down and talked with him for like 3 hours apparently, and somehow his vocals like interweave through the album or something like that. But yeah, that first single, Get Lucky, tough.
That kind of disco-ish. I don't want to call it disco as far as like sound, but it's tempo.
It's dance music.
Dance music is starting to come. You got that. You got the Robin Thicke record. You've got songs in this Justin Timberlake album. Like that seems to be where we're going.
I was gonna say Pharrell. He's having
quiet as cat.
He's having a nice little moment right now.
Turned 40 a couple weeks ago. He looks like he's 18.
He's Benjamin Buttoning right before our very eyes.
Did you watch his Nardwuar interview?
No, I still haven't seen that.
It's good. Videos. He has a story about weed brownies that's funny. He's got a few stories that are funny.
And then he's been around forever.
Yeah. Then he turns around and interviews Nardwuar, and there's a second part of it. It's really good. I love Nardwuar. That's on my bucket list.
The rollout's been great. They've got people going crazy. Looks like they're officially sort of going to release this single pretty soon.
Well, I heard that the version that leaked today was from a radio station that has it.
But I think the radio station was playing the record that I have, which I think is people splicing together the different versions to make it sound like one complete version.
So is this kind of like what happened when those Drake snippets leaked after Thank Me Later, like Still Got It, and people turned it into like a whole 3 minute song? So is it just like part of Pharrell's verse and then the hook over and over and over for 3.5 minutes?
No, it sounds legit. I mean, we'll see what we get. But
because I heard the original, I heard the full version of that song is well over 6 minutes.
That's right. But as you know, you have a long version. You want to push the radio. You got to get that radio edit.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think the record's dope. It's a total departure for Daft Punk. Apparently there's only like one sample on the album. So they went back and hired all the session musicians who used to work on classic 70s and 80s records.
Mm.
So guys who haven't seen each other in years, apparently, like dudes who play with, you know, everything from like the Quincy MJ albums to like, you name it, brought all these session players back in, and they made a dance record apparently. So I'm really interested to see what we get.
Mm.
They're using the technology perfectly. I'm now really paying attention to that. I want to see what they've got. Let's see, we talk about Daft Punk, talk about French Montana. What were we talking about? Oh, you know what we haven't even talked about? Your man Pusha Ton.
Yeah.
Numbers on the boards.
Yeah.
This record is crazy.
I didn't like it at first.
I know. Took you a minute.
Very so-so. It was like, I didn't like the rollout of that too, because it was like, hey, Jay-Z just put out a record. Let's put one out too. And on top of that, Pusha's track record isn't really the best for me right now.
Mm.
I want him to put out like a monster single that makes me want to hear the album. And as dope as this record is, this still doesn't make me want to hear the album. This isn't a single.
This is the Don't Forget I'm Here.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the I Know I Made That Mixtape where I got a bunch of records that sound like other people's records. Mm. But to me, because it's a weird beat. You know me, Pusha and weird beats. Like, you're already in good territory.
This is Don Cannon.
No, I don't think so.
No, it's Don Cannon. Kanye assisted with production, but it's Don Cannon.
Don Cannon?
Yeah.
That's what I heard first, then I heard it was Mike Knox and Kanye.
Mike Knox?
Yeah.
The guy?
I thought so.
Beanie Siegel?
Maybe not. I thought it was somebody. Maybe I'm wrong. Well, I don't care who made it. The beat's dope.
Beat is dope. It makes me want to rap.
Yeah, I mean, did you rap over the instrumental yet?
Yeah, I've got a verse. I just haven't recorded it yet because allergy season was crazy last night because it rained.
So you get, first, cuff season leads right into allergy season.
Oh my God. Allergy season is the worst. death to allergy season. So I gotta go to get some go to Trader Joe's or Whole Foods or something like that. Give me some raw honey. Call Wait, it.
You go for the raw honey?
Yeah, I'm gonna try that this year. I usually try Claritin, but I tried Claritin last night and it didn't work. That might be maybe because I don't know. My diet's changing. I'm not sure why that didn't work as well as it did before. Because Claritin was like clockwork. So I'm gonna try something different.
On the grind like clockwork.
Why do we somehow fit that song? Hey, did you see the whole JoJo Simmons Instagram thing with Jewels?
Can you clue me in on what's going on here? When I see this, I feel like the oldest man on the planet because I have no idea what's going on. I saw the screen capture of the Instagram, yeah. Which makes no sense to me. People act like you can't go to Instagram's website now. I don't understand. But
right. Yeah, people really don't know that Instagram has turned into a website. People really
Yeah, you could go, you could browse, you can like, you could do everything but post new pictures. Like you could do all that from a website. Anyway, yeah. It was a screen grab from Instagram. I see JoJo Simmons looks like he's getting rushed up on.
Yeah, he's getting hemmed up by a guy in a white do-rag. That bothers me.
Could have been worse. Could have been the paper towel. Although
Oh God. you New Yorkers, I love y'all. I love y'all.
Oh man. So you could have done that. You could have had that be in one of the tiers, like an official Kairos paper towel tied around your head.
Just a roll good. Just a rolling sword. Like how those preachers on BET at like 3 a.m, how they sell like those rags that's supposed to help you pray better. I just could have sold paper towels with like the Kairos with the little egg on the bottom right hand corner.
Oh, see, I mean, if you could have get it so it's like, you know, some of them are quilted, you get like the Kairos logo quilted in, like that's the extra level.
Ah, I should have went to IKEA and racked up on those $2 towels is what I should have did. Turned around and sold them for like 10 bucks. I'm tripping.
Anyway, so JoJo Simmons.
Yeah, so basically what happened was, I guess JoJo did a diss record about Jewels.
Okay.
And so in return, you know, some of Jewel's goons ran up on JoJo and did that. And then there was a video of him. JoJo was with a bunch of like Crips or whatever. And the guy asked him about the picture. And JoJo was just kind of like put his head down and was like, look, man, I'm a nice guy. I came from a nice neighborhood. That ain't really me. I'm just trying to, you know, do music and make money and. Da da da, but then people in the background like Crip up and throwing gang signs. Crip up, so we grip up and brrr, you know what all those Crip, those gang members do and stuff. But he's like on camera copping pleas, so like you feel kind of bad for him. It's like you feel kind of like, come on, JoJo, just, you know, you saw him on the show, like come on. So I don't, yeah, that's. I guess that's the runaround of the situation. The picture looks a little too
clear.
Yeah, it looks like it's posed. The memes are hilarious. Have you seen the meme? The meme is like, "Dad, get out the tub and help me." That is hilarious. But yeah, it looks a little too like, all right, stop. We're gonna take this picture. And there's no video, so you took. With my Galaxy, and I think with the new iPhones, you can do this. I'm not sure. Let me know. Like, the technology with phones now is while you're video recording something.
Yeah, you can tap. You can take a picture, yeah.
Exactly. So you don't, in true goon fashion, in true world star fashion, you don't do both. You don't leak the picture on Instagram, and then 2 days later, once it starts to die down, put the video up on Worldstar and start it all over again.
You're expecting a higher like class level of goonery.
Yes,
like you want some organization. You want some thought out goonishness. You know,
I mean,
they need to be up on the technology. Like you've got high expectations for goonery.
I guess I can't expect much from a white durag. there's but so much I can take. So I feel it. Whatever. But that's it. Shout out to Russie. So what else are we talking about?
I want to talk to you about Rocky Fresh.
Okay.
So Rocky Fresh, we talked about a little bit on previous episodes of Clock Radio Speakers.
You like him?
I do. I think he's got an interesting sound. you know.
And what do you know? Right on cue, he just leaked the record with Gunplay.
Tonight?
Like right now, 7 minutes ago. Right. I'm about to see what this is for, but go ahead.
It's for his mixtape. That's what I'm confused about. So he leaks this record called Panera Bread. Great title for a song, by the way. Who doesn't love Panera Bread?
Featuring Rick Ross. Like, you know, like Ross should not have Panera Bread, dog. What are you doing?
I mean, that's a missed opportunity. You'd think Ross would be like, yo, you need to name this Wingstop. Like,
right.
Calling it Panera Bread. Why are you giving, you know? Although, if he does, like, the World Star type video, like, just bootlegging out in front of the local Panera Bread, that's
no, they got to go inside and shoot that video. They've got to show them logging on to the free Wi-Fi. They've got to show the business meetings in the background. They've got to, Ross has got to be, like, swigging some green tea, some blackberry tea, while Rocky Fresh is spitting his verse.
All the soccer moms running in between errands, getting a little,
Soccer moms, the
yoga moms, yeah.
Yeah, yo, Panera, yo, Panera's the spot, man. If you're trying to, you know, trying to find something, Panera's a good spot. Not nothing quick. Like,
yeah, like a library. Yeah. Or this place we going, Panera.
Oh, snap. Don't, hey, the one that you whispered and said, that's a secret. That's a secret. That's like a gold mine. And she reads? Ring.
We just lost, like, whoever was still listening after us going on about shoes.
We have a large male fan base. I'm sure they were probably taking, it's like, that's where I need to go.
I'm slipping in Coming to America jokes, and you're getting excited about girls who read. Like, there's a lot of levels going on right now.
All right, so Rocky Fresh.
Rocky Fresh, Panera Bread. So this beat is tough. He's got a real good ear for beats.
Yeah.
He's got a unique sound, which I like. I was sort of afraid that, you know, we'd hear the MMGification of Rocky Fresh.
He was supposed to. Did he ever leak that video for Lifelong with Ross and Nipsey? That was supposed to be the next single off of the Electric Highway joint.
Well, that was my next question. He's got a new mixtape coming out. Are they abandoning course in that? I mean, I thought that mixtape was actually pretty good.
True rapper style. I don't know.
There was some moments there. I mean, they just stopped pushing. Like, to me, that seemed like the kind of mixtape where you could just keep, like, you could go away for a month while you're working on your album.
Right.
Then you go away for release. A few months. Well, no, but then go, like, just make a video for something, release it, and you get a whole other class of people be like, oh, yeah, Rocky Fresh, I've been meaning to check him out. Like, that's the point of that mixtape.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is to carry you through.
Absolutely.
And then you get to come back. Instead, now he's got a new mixtape.
Yeah. I think that's rapper stuff, though. I think that's.
Is that like Ross and the label sort of going, we're not seeing the big numbers, we need something else, or.
I don't know. To me, it seems kind of Rocky Fresh-ish, more than
Rocky Fresh-ish.
Fresh-ish. You can say that five times back. Well, because, you know, Meek did the exact same thing with Dreams and Nightmares and Dream Chasers 3. Did that come out? No, it's May 7th. May 7th. I don't know why I think it's May already.
You ready? You want to hear that French Montana?
No, not at all. But then you've got, I still think the person that you need to watch the most when it comes to how they roll their projects out on MMG is Wale. Because Wale was able to, he dropped Falarin when, in October?
Yeah, I think so.
His album comes out in June. He was able to shoot a couple of little small quick videos for some of the songs. But he pulled a single out. He had Bad.
Yeah, for some reason people like Bad. So
women love Wale. Yeah. They love those Wale. He has a lane like right there for those chick records, man.
I forgot when I was putting I can't believe I'm saying this. When I was putting together the best of Wale, Yeah, well, I'm interested to see what Superstar J does with that. But when I was pulling all these tracks together, I forgot how many records he forgot to include on his album.
Like?
Bait.
Bait was a...
Tats on My Arm.
That was supposed to be on Self-Made, too.
Like, these records, like, why weren't these on his album? Like, I don't, you know. I mean, when I did a 1.5, they were all on there, but yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, I like the Rocky Fresh song. you know, not sure why he's releasing another mixtape right now. I don't really get it. You know, it even though this would be worse, it would almost make more sense if Racky Fresh came out with a very typical MMG Rick Ross style beat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, then I would sort of look at that and go, okay, it's clear that they were like, all right, Racky, we're going to let you do your thing. But if the numbers aren't as good, you got to come in and, you know, you got to do the MMG thing. Right, that would be misguided, but I could almost see the logic there, as bad as it is. But this is, like, this sounds like a Racky Fresh song. Like, we just had a pretty high quality mixtape full of this stuff. Right, I mean, it's not perfect. There's songs you would drop and all that, but, like, let it breathe. but you know, it's interesting you think it's the rapper. So, I'm trying to give him credit and blame the label, but you might be right.
Yeah, I think it's a rapper thing, because he definitely had a few singles that he could have stretched out.
Absolutely.
And did some things. And maybe he still does. Maybe this is just, you know, like that Black Bar Mitzvah tape that Ross did. Maybe this is just something meant to, you know, just kind of throw out there as a...
The Black Bar Mitzvah was different just because that was all freestyles.
All freestyles for the most part. Didn't he have a single?
I feel like he sort of treated us like a single, but...
And all people did was just remove him and Reese off the record, and it just became Drake with the hook.
I went back and I was trying to make a Drake and Ross mix, so songs that they've done together.
The YOLO mixtape. Well,
the hypothetical one, right? Like a pre YOLO.
pre only live once. Before you live once.
Before you. Give me ideas.
Oh snap! Bam! Pew!
Bilo? That just sounds weird.
Yeah, that sounds like a disease or something.
But and I, you know, I realized, first of all, they didn't have as many songs as I thought they did. I think I counted 10 that were worthy of that I would want to put on a mix. But I kind of like, you know, I like what they did on Us. You know, if you remove Reese, I'm not mad at Drake on Us. But so you know. Long story short, on Racky Fresh, I'm a little concerned they didn't let the mixtape breathe. But you know, hey, let's see what he comes out with. I mean, if it's a better mixtape, I guess I can't be that mad, right?
Yeah, but the way that they roll, I think the way that they're rolling this out, and the way I think he just did the whole, I just want to put out a mixtape for my birthday, and they can't be mad at it because, you know, I did it. So I think this is just whatever.
You think it's just rapper?
Yeah, just whatever. I just think that they're doing songs for it or whatever.
Fair enough.
I mean, come on, like, you, I'm assuming that using Ross's resources, you probably have access to a lot of stuff. So, you know, I'm sure you've got Gunplay just laying around not doing anything. You've got all these beats that dope.
He's got his own sound, and this is produced by the guy who produces a lot of his stuff.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if... You know what I wanted to, when I want to go to Ross's studio, just because I know people are still sending him that deeper than rap stuff. If you're sitting on that stuff, let me have it. I'll take it. So I don't know. What else are we talking about?
We need to talk about your man Common.
Oh, okay.
Just real briefly. I know, I don't think you've heard this yet, but so your favorite group, Cocaine 80s.
Yeah.
Back at Work with Common, song called Congratulations.
Okay.
This is one of the better Cocaine 80s things I've heard.
You know, the funny thing, and Common also did a freestyle over Open Letter.
Which I didn't hear.
Yeah, nah.
I was good.
You're good.
But this Common Cocaine 80s, Congratulations, produced by No ID. This is pretty, it's pretty dope. Very reminiscent of sort of Like Water for Chocolate era Common. Which I know... I say that, and we, you know, a whole crew of people just ran off, and they're feverishly downloading this right now. I don't know if I hold that album as highly as some people. Before Armand starts yelling at me, I think it's a good album, but I think there's problems.
Yo, I think that...
Like, I think this episode is done!
No, I think that... I mean, I think Like Water for Chocolate is his... second best album. Do we need to do a Common retro?
That would be interesting.
It'd be very interesting, because I would actually like to go back and hear Can I Borrow Dollar and Resurrection.
Resurrection, Yeah.
Resurrection was tough, but it wasn't like he wasn't there yet.
What was the third album?
One Day It All Makes Sense.
That's the record that is has some incredible songs on there.
Yeah, but it has a lot of struggle on it too to balance it out. But there's the some, incredible song, it has my favorite Common song, which is Retrospect for Life.
That's not even the best record on that album.
No. What's the best song on that album?
Hold on a second. Everybody hear me type.
Like Introspection. I like G.O.D. Gaining One's Definition. I like the record with Cannabis. I even like the single Reminding Me of Self. That was dope.
The Stolen Moments series is incredible.
That was dope.
Invocation.
Invocation is the first track, right? Envision in the Hereafter.
Yes.
Listening to Steve Wonder.
Yes.
I Inhale Imagination and Breathe Wonder.
He's destroying that.
Destroyed that.
I know Retrospective. I get Retrospective for Life.
That's the best song, but he kills that verse, and that beat is tough.
The beat, yeah. It's the best he's rapping, and that beat is incredible.
But
again, Stolen Moments 1-3, you know.
It's all dope.
Crazy.
It's dope. Hungry.
But there's some records that you're like, you know. Oh, okay. I forgot. Doug Infinite. Wow.
Doug Infinite. Yep. No ID and Doug Infinite. Yep. Yeah, we probably need to do a Common retro.
That's interesting.
Because we probably need to revisit B.
Well, we did when we did the Common retro. I mean, the Kanye retro.
Oh, yeah, we did, didn't we?
Because we did Finding Forever and B, yeah.
Okay. I'm not listening to Universal Mind Control, though.
It's not as bad as you think.
Is it in the same vein as, what was that album we listened to and it was just way ahead of its time?
Blueprint 3?
No.
Blueprint 3 was ahead of its time.
No.
We talked about this. It was the prototype for the Watch the Throne sound.
It was, but no, there was an album that we recently listened to on a recent retro. Oh, we were like, everybody hated the album, but now when you listen to it, it's nowhere near as bad as it was, and it's actually kind of decent.
Oh, now you're going to drive me crazy.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go to clockradiospeakers.com.
Well, everybody should go all the time. No.
All the time. I love the fact that when I start typing in Clock Radio Speakers, people are already searching, the show, because then it'll have like podcasts and stuff like that. So thanks, guys. Was it a Neptunes retro? Was it something that the Neptunes did?
I could see that, but I'm trying to remember what record we would have said that about.
93. Fly Die Till the Casket Drops. No. NERD, Justin Timberlake. I don't know, man.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Anyway.
But, okay, so it's one of those albums that sounds better since the landscape and music has changed.
Yeah.
Okay. And What's It Called was good, too. The Dream of the Believer.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, but I hated that album when it first came out. I thought it was I didn't think it was terrible. I thought it was corny.
You thought Common's rapping was bad, right?
Yeah, and it probably still was. I actually... The funny part is I blew off a lot of the hooks, but those hooks are Cocaine 80s and James Fauntleroy.
Yeah, and let me make it real clear. Universal Mind Control is not great at all. It might not even be good, but I wouldn't call it, like, when I first heard it, I was like, this is one of the worst rap albums I've heard in a while. It's not that bad, but it's not great either. That's all I gotta say about that. I don't think there's any other music we want to talk about. So do we want to talk at all about NBA?
I wanted to ask you. I saw you before we get into the NBA.
Yeah.
I saw that you had tweeted that you were still watching House of Cards. Did you finish?
No. Got sidetracked by Mad Men and Adventure Time.
Gotcha. Well, yeah.
I got a weird rotation going right now.
It's all. I'm actually thinking about getting rid of cable and getting Amazon and that XBMC box and all that stuff. I'm really thinking about doing that. But
we almost went that way. But like where I'm at, they make it really like crazy to not, like, if you just want regular cable internet, it's expensive.
Yeah. See, that's my problem, is that I think my cable internet is way too expensive. I pay too much what I get.
I'm not mad at like what I get for it or anything, but you're saving some money, but when you factor in, like, to me, if I did that, I'd have to go and buy Hulu Plus probably.
Right.
And then, you know, there's probably still some stuff I'd need to get off of iTunes occasionally. Like, I'd need to get Mad Men, like stuff like that.
Well, these boxes come with live streaming. So
they do, but some shows you still got to get, like, I mean, it depends how you feel about that, right? Like, for me, Mad Men, I need to watch it as it's coming out. I can't wait.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's you can have it to where you're streaming and watching the show as it's on TV.
From where?
Okay. I used to watch Prison Break when I lived on the West Coast. I used to watch the East Coast stream because by the time it came on there, it was like 10 o'clock at night on the East Coast and it already played.
Let me tell you, I need my high def. I need my good sound. Like, nah, I'm spoiled. But the real problem is sports. That's the problem with going cable.
That's what I'm having trouble with letting go with.
I realized that, you know, so March Madness, they stream it all through the app live. You could get by there. So really, I'm talking NBA and NFL. You can get Sunday Ticket on PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
It's $300.
But when you're not paying for cable.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, all these things started to add up, and I was like, you know, I was able to basically, I realized, like, I'd have to come in pretty far under $150 a month to make it worthwhile.
Right.
To put up with all the other junk. And, you know, what you can do is you can just call your cable company, threaten to quit, and they find a deal, let me tell you.
I might need to do that.
Yeah. If you're not running that game on your cable company, please go do that right now. But, yeah, House of Cards, I feel like it's losing steam a little bit. I don't know.
It loses steam in the middle. Where are you right now? Like, what's going on?
Like, episode 10.
So is this when they dedicate the library to Frank?
Yeah, it's after that. I think definitely an episode after that. You know what? Claire and Zoe. Is that right, Zoe?
Yeah, Zoe. Yeah, she's the
double. Yeah, Claire and Zoe just met.
Yeah, it's about to pick back up.
Okay, good. Because I'm kind of like,
because there's 13 episodes. The last three episodes are like.
Okay, good.
So you're good.
Good, because it's been a struggle. Not like terrible or anything, but I'm like, come on, we get it.
No, yeah, it starts off like boom.
Yeah.
Like it just takes off. And then, yeah, like in the middle, it kind of drifts off a little bit. But no.
There's some crazy moments in the show, man.
Yeah.
When Claire goes to visit that guy in the hospital, me and the wife looked at each other. We were like, what?
That was crazy.
We were like, okay, she does not give an F.
Nah, she's
thorough.
you begin to see the unravel and see how many voids that they're kind of like working out of, like Claire's desire to have a family and have children, and you know, even Frank's desire to not be as controlling as he is. Like, he shows moments of like humanity, and it's really good. And then Zoe kind of turns a corner a little bit, but I don't want to give it away. But yeah, it's good.
All right, good.
Yeah, let's talk
real quick. We saved it for the end because, you know, some people don't like to hear us talk about sports.
Yeah. So you can turn off the episode right now, but don't.
So your man Kobe's he's out for a little while.
Yeah. The best thing Kobe could have done was join social media. That has helped his career and his image immensely.
It's helped his image. It hasn't helped his career.
Well, his career and his image go hand in hand.
Maybe how he's viewed in the media. How about that?
Yeah.
Sure. He's going to be an interesting case. So what I thought was really interesting is if you look at the stats of players who've had this kind of injury, nobody's ever quite the same. No. And if you watch the game footage, nobody's ever quite the same. But they had a thing up on, I think it was either ESPN or Grantland, where they interviewed some of these players who've had this same injury. They went back and interviewed Dominique.
Yeah.
They interviewed Elton Brand. They interviewed a couple other people.
And is Elton Brand still in the league?
Yeah.
And where is he?
I don't know. And if you, it's Elton Brand. And if you, and this is what I'm talking about. He didn't have that much explosiveness, but then he lost it all.
Yeah.
But when you hear the players talk, especially Dominique, who was an elite player,
Dominique came back and averaged like 30 and 7, I thought.
He changed his whole game. He wasn't the same type of player. But Dominique makes it sound like he remembers it. He was like, no, I came back strong. He's like, if anything, my ankle was stronger than ever.
Mm.
And he described it as a mental problem.
Mm.
There might be some truth to that, but I think there's a glaring difference between watching the tape and listening to the athlete. And I think this will be a problem because, you know, whether it's because he really is imitating Michael Jordan or he just imitated Michael Jordan for so long that he truthfully became as maniacal as Michael Jordan, then you know that, I mean, either way, Kobe's going to think that he can, he's going to think that he can do this.
Kobe is not at all ending his career like that. He's not ending his career with two free throws and walking off the floor, barely beating the Golden State Warriors.
If he were a man, he would retire, but he won't do that.
No, he won't do that.
Instead, his beloved Lakers are going to have to make some awful decisions because they are going to have a money problem. Even though they almost have almost nobody on the books, the problem is the idea of having almost nobody on the books for two. I think it's in 2 years they have almost nobody left on the books.
Yep.
I think the idea was by that point,
Kobe would be retired.
They were hoping that Kobe would gracefully bow out.
Well, that was the plan.
Well, do you think Kobe ever was really in on it? I mean, they're going to have to drag Kobe away.
No, he said that.
I don't believe him for a second.
Anyway, I think he was under the impression he wants to win one more.
That's what I'm saying, though. They're not going to win one more.
Well, that's what this year was for. That's why they got Dwight and Nash.
I get that, but they were never that close. Like, I think that was part of the problem. Like, everybody assumed that Kobe was going to retire because he got to a certain age or whatever. But Kobe was only going to retire if he won one more. So those are incompatible right now. And now they're really incompatible because now he's got to take some time off.
Yeah.
Right. The Lakers are in a serious bind because if you bring back Kobe, first of all, he's going to be really expensive. Ridiculously expensive.
You don't think he takes a pay cut?
It'd be the smart thing to do. But when do players ever do that?
Tom Brady.
NFL's different.
Yeah, man.
My man. NFL's different because you have to get creative with how you structure contracts. There's a difference between guaranteed money and not guaranteed money versus what counts for the salary cap and how you prorate it. It's totally different. Gotcha. NBA is all guaranteed.
Gotcha.
You know, so if anything, what Tom did, I believe Tom said, all right, I'm going to restructure and it's going to affect the salary cap differently, but I'm going to get a little bit more upfront money right now for my trouble. Almost like a 360 deal for music. No, seriously, where you get an upfront payment and it's just a different sort of thing. That's what some of these NFL players do. If you see somebody restructuring for less money, go check it. They're almost always getting a nice big lump sum right now.
Gotcha.
Because you can cut people in NFL, right? You're not cutting anybody in NBA, at least not like that. So they're going to have to make some tough decisions. You know, I don't think they saw anything this year that makes them believe that this current crop of players can contend. Your man, Mike D'Antoni.
Dan Antoni.
He's got to go, right?
He's done. And he knows he don't like the Lakers. Have you heard him talk about them?
Can you blame him?
No.
I don't blame him.
I'm not mad at him for it. I don't know. I don't even know why he took the job. Maybe because he saw all those players and he was like, well, I don't have to do anything.
I'm just going to win a ring. I think he thought, I got Nash, I'm good. Mm. Nash is not the same.
Oh, and Nash got hurt the second game of the season.
Nash is
and
not the same.
And they don't have Phoenix doctors.
Yeah. Something fishy with that Phoenix training staff.
Yeah,
they
had, because even Shaq was like, I've never felt that good before. So.
Yeah, yeah. Why we talked about this on a previous episode. Why don't teams just offer to buy them out 100%? Like, go to the doctors and be like, what are you earning right now? I'll pay you four times that much.
I don't know. Maybe Phoenix is a hot spot. Like,
if you have a team of vets, there almost isn't enough money you could pay them. Look at the Lakers.
You mean like the Knicks?
Like, look at the Lakers. Like, for like a year from now, like, let's say they keep a chunk of this team together.
Yep.
And you've got Dwight, who I don't think is the same.
Still. No, he's getting better, but he's still, his back is still shot.
That's right. Dwight with back problems, Nash, and now Kobe.
Yep.
All the money they've got invested in those that they – we're assuming that Dwight's going to stay with L.A. But, like, let's – if they went that route, I mean, I would pay whatever I had to pay to get the best doctors in there, right?
Right, sure.
Or whatever they're doing. But yeah, the Lakers are going to have to make some really, really tough decisions. Like, to the point where the Lakers should go to Kobe on some, like – you know, I don't know. If it were about money, they could go to him with like, we'll give you like a piece of ownership.
Well, did you see how he said since he couldn't move for 2 weeks, he was gonna be like sending D'Antoni texts.
That was fantastic. That and D'Antoni did probably possibly for the first time all season stood up to Kobe.
He said he was gonna turn his phone off.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
It tells you everything you need to know about Kobe Bryant.
Absolutely. Because he really was going to do that. Like somebody put out a picture of what's the guy's name from X-Men?
Wolverine?
No, the leader.
Oh, Professor X?
Yes. And then they put Kobe's face inside the thing. Like that's hilarious. And Kobe was probably dead serious too. That's the funny part.
Oh yeah.
So that's what they have to do. Like while Kobe's rehabbing, they got to say, "Look, Kobe, who do you want to play with?" Pause. And he's going to give them a list. And they've got to try their best to accommodate that list. Now, have you heard about what Detroit said?
What did Detroit say?
Detroit said, who wants to win a championship? We want to spend money.
They getting rid of Dumars?
I don't know, dog.
They should.
That's the assumption, yeah, because he destroyed that team.
He's living off that 04 title.
Absolutely is.
I mean, look, I'm not mad at him because he has contributed a lot of money to the wallets of former UConn alums. He seemingly has a thing for wanting to pay them lots of money. Ben Gordon, Charlie Villanueva, Richard Hamilton. It's like a recovery group for former UConn swingmen, but
Khalid El-Amin should go there.
Yo, don't say anything about Khalid El-Amin. Listen, we're struggling over here in UConn fandom because I know our women's team just won a national title, but they're supposed to win national titles. The bit is our logo, man.
They changed y'all's logo?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, we're still the Huskies, but it used to be, granted, somewhat dopey looking. But it was our dopey
looking. It looked like an unshaven dog.
No, now it looks like a wolf. It's all like aggressive, and man, people are up in arms.
Yeah, I don't get that. Like, am I supposed to fear you now because, you know, now you have a a wolf with like a, you know, when you used to draw and if somebody was mad, you just put the V above their eyes, like some, like you just drew a wolf and put some V's over there. Like now they're mad. Now I'm supposed to be scared of the Huskies. Like, no.
Yeah. People.
Remember College Slam for Super Nintendo? Remember the college version of NBA Jam?
No. Remember Coach K?
Of course.
Yeah. Coach K. That was where it was at.
Coach K was all it was. You only picked Duke and Arizona. That was it.
They don't. They don't do college basketball games anymore, right?
They don't, because College Hoops 2K8 was one of the greatest sports games ever. And after that,
is it because of the O'Bannon lawsuit?
What O'Bannon lawsuit?
Ed O'Bannon, and like thousands of other NCAA players are suing.
Oh, why? Because they don't get paid for that stuff?
Because they're still profiting off of like their former likeness. Like, is, you know, the rules were supposed to be when you're in college, you can't get money for when we sell your jersey and stuff like that.
Right.
But how are you going to tell dudes in their 40s that, no, it's okay for them to have like, you know, retro teams in the games or to, you know, but it actually really extends further than that. Like, think of every time CBS shows like a highlight reel of like old games and stuff.
Sure. Sure. I mean, even when they sell college jerseys, they sell numbers, and you know whose jersey you're buying, even though the name isn't on the back.
You mean like the Adidas Louisville thing with Ware's number, where it's rise to the occasion, and it had five, and yeah, I feel that they should have said we're going to contribute this to, I don't know, pick a scholarship fund or something.
Yeah, create a scholarship fund and man, pay them kids, man.
Nah, that, you know, I mean, some of these kids, you know, they might be getting paid. I mean.
I'm sure they're getting paid, but
I mean, Caron Butler used to drive around UConn in an Escalade in the early 2000s. So, you know,
pay these kids, man.
But
some of them are eating, you know, what about the 10th and 11th guy off the bench? He's eating ramen noodles
The 10th and 11th guy off the bench, he's got a waiting list of girls on Instagram trying to send him pictures. God knows what. Sound like an old man.
You do.
Yeah, oh, Snapchat.
The new thing is Snapchat. That's what all the cool kids are doing.
Listen, you can't be an adult and be in Snapchat. You just can't do it. Like, there's lots of social. Like, I always test out whatever. If it's cool, I want to use it or whatever. Yeah. Nah. You can't be in a, if you're in a, let me put it this way, if you're in a relationship and the other person you're in a relationship with has Snapchat, I'm not saying you should go snooping because that's a violation of privacy and everything else, but you should immediately start asking questions. Lots of questions.
Yeah, Snapchat is crazy. That's all I need to know. Yeah, there's a lot you can tell from a partner or a potential life partner based off of the apps they download. But that's for another
show.
Not
even potential. I'm saying if you're in a relationship and you see your girl or your guy's home screen and they had like, and they have like Snapchat on the home screen.
Dog. We need to do a Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla. We need to do a Love Line episode.
Love Line. Cock Radio Speakers Love Line.
Yeah, we need to do a Love Line.
That's funny. Back to NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
So we talked, so LA, yeah. So actually, I didn't even see. Is tonight the last day of the season?
Yes, it is. So the Lakers in Utah are down to this one game. Memphis, Utah plays Memphis, and I have no idea who LA plays. Let me find it.
But Memphis, they're all set with their position, so they might rest people?
Right.
That's the hope for Utah.
Hold on. Let me pull up this. Let me pull up my app. Don't use the ESPN app if you have it. I don't know if it's gotten better, but when I had it, it was abysmal.
There's some decent ones now, I think.
Like, there's an app called The Score that I use that's amazing.
ESPN's got a bunch of apps.
NBA. LA plays Houston. And Houston has their spot solidified, too. I believe they play San Antonio in the first round.
I thought there was a chance that they might play Denver.
I think – let me find out. I thought Denver and Golden State. Golden State's beating Denver.
You think – nah.
Yes, they are.
Is it because – I mean, Denver is like everyone's favorite.
Yeah, but they lost Gallinari towards ACL.
I think that's overrated.
Nah.
We'll see.
Now, if we play 2K, I'll pick the Nuggets because JaVale McGee is retarded in 2K. There's a secret. Let me see. I know that. Well, the only thing that could change is if I don't know who the Clippers play, but the Clippers and Memphis are tied.
Okay.
So they're pretty much playing for home court. So Memphis might not rest players. Yeah. So let me find out who the Lakers play. Or I'm sorry, yeah, the Lakers play Houston, my bad. And do the Clippers play tonight? They do. Yeah, they play Sacramento. So they might have a better shot than Utah because Utah's going to be playing their hearts out.
Either way, you know, we're talking all West. Nobody's talking about the East. Is everybody correct in assuming that Miami's just going to waltz to the finals?
I still think that people are worried about New York. About the Knicks?
They're only worried about New York because ESPN worries about New York.
I think they have a shot. They have the best shot to beat Miami, but they're not. That series goes six games.
Here's what they're going to need to beat Miami. They're going to need Carmelo to outplay LeBron.
Even though Carmelo is going to win the scoring championship, he's not an efficient scorer.
He's actually a much more efficient scorer than he used to be.
Than he used to be, because he used to drive down the court and chuck up whatever. And he still kind of does that, but not as bad as he used to.
He's gotten better this year.
He's gotten a lot better.
The problem is, to me, is that the Knicks, they're better now that they run small ball. Well, yeah. Here's the problem. Who's the best small ball team in the league? Miami. The best. So like
I'm sorry, because you got in that small ball, LeBron plays what?
At the four.
He's a four.
So you want to go small? Fine. Now you go small with Anthony, good. They go small with LeBron. They just negated your best option. So right. they would need LeBron to have a subpar series, and for Carmelo to keep, you know, 30 plus a night.
Well, but they're relying on.
Additionally, they need J.R. Smith to continue to play out of his mind.
And they're relying on Wade not playing out of his mind. They're relying on Quentin Richardson. And I heard groans when Rashid announced his retirement today.
Yeah,
the thing is even to get to the finals, New York has to go through Boston and Indiana.
Now, are they playing Boston around one?
Yep. So you can Boston of the San Antonio Spurs of the East. You can never, ever, ever count them out. So this even if they lose, they're going to at least go six games, maybe seven.
This could be their last. I mean, we say this every year, but with a veteran team like that, I mean, they know they're not winning the title this year. So this might be their finals.
Yeah.
Right. To go into New York.
Yep.
They do play. They play New York relatively well.
And my man, Whit, shout out to Whit, made a great point with the Boston tragedy that happened. Now they have even more reason to play out of their minds because now they're doing it. It's bigger than just basketball now. Everybody's going to rally around that.
Yo, they played Sweet Caroline at the Yankees game last night.
Really?
Do you know why that is a thing?
No, I don't know.
So Red Sox games, they play Sweet Caroline at a certain half inning.
Okay.
I believe it's seventh inning stretch. They play Sweet Caroline.
Okay.
It's a Boston Red Sox tradition.
Okay.
Yankee fans know this.
Okay.
In order to honor the Red Sox, they weren't even playing the Red Sox last night.
Right. I saw they put the thing up on the stadium.
That's one thing. But, yo, they played Sweet Caroline in between an inning. And from what I understand, the fans all looked around like, what the heck's going on? Like,
I mean,
that's wild to me. Because, you know, Boston and New York fans hate each other.
Hate each other.
Hate.
Yeah, like, but there's nothing like tragedy to bring people together.
No, I get that. I will say, you know, it's funny. The Boston Marathon, it's a New England thing. I knew people running in the race. Everybody. I mean, because, like, it attracts people from all over New England. It's Patriots Day in Boston, which is a holiday, but they have, a morning baseball game. Like, one of my best friends was at the morning baseball game. Like, people go to Boston for this day, like, this is it's definitely a New England thing. It was sort of surreal, you know. Immediately it was, and I know a ton of people who live in Boston, so of course my Facebook feed is lighting up with Facebook and Twitter with I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, right? Like a lot of that.
Yeah.
But you know, I guess they might have a little something to fight for, but I don't know. I always feel like sometimes those stories are a little manufactured. Right, gives ESPN a little juice to sell the series. I'm a little cynical like that.
What do you mean? What the Boston thing was cynical?
Yeah, no. I mean, like, they'll definitely say, oh, you know, they're, you know, the Celtics are inspired and they're playing harder. Because I'm like, no, listen, they want to beat the crap out of New York anyway. Like I, you know, I mean, I will say, you know, that the first home game for the Celtics, there'll be some emotion in the building. Absolutely, sure.
Definitely.
Absolutely, but like, you know, like let's say it goes seven. You know, am I supposed to believe that the Celtics are going to carry over because of the inspired emotion that they have? No, you know. But to me, the dangerous thing that New York's got to worry about is it's a veteran team that is being counted out, and this could be their finals.
Yeah.
Right? They're pulling out all the stops.
Yeah. I feel that.
And then I'm...
Then they've got to go through Indiana, which Indiana isn't the same team that they were last year, no. But... They'll still wear down the Knicks. Like, the Knicks aren't going to just roll over them. That'll be another six games. When you've got Miami, they're going to blow by Milwaukee. I love Milwaukee. I love their backcourt of Jennings and Curry. God, I draw blanks.
Oh, yeah.
The other guy.
Yeah, this is a very informed sports podcast right now.
I know, right? Crazy.
Nope,
internet. Monte Ellis.
Speaking of inefficient players, he could be the poster child. Yeah, you know, when you play Milwaukee, you know Monte's gonna have one game where he just goes off.
Yep.
So you got to worry about that game.
Yeah, but so they might beat Miami once. I doubt it. I think Miami goes on it. This is the worst thing that you could have done with Miami was, like, people should be, like slapping Chicago. Like, they should be hitting them.
Why?
Like it's the Sandlot, and he hit the last home run, and everybody's throwing their gloves at him because now they can't play ball anymore. The worst thing that they could have done was beat the Heat and not let them get that streak. Because not only now do you give your chance to rest your players, now you've got, did you see Norris Cole strip Kyrie on that last play?
No.
Beautiful. Beautiful strip. Beautiful strip. So now you've got Miami's bench players coming into the playoffs with confidence. It's the worst thing you could have did. So Milwaukee might get one game. Chicago will probably get two.
You think Chicago can get two?
They might get two.
See, here's the thing. That goonery might work in the regular season. But the refs will protect the Heat. For better or for worse. Chicago beat the Heat in that game because they decided to play Riley ball from the mid-90s. They thugged it out, right? They were like, no, we're hitting you. It was goonery. It wasn't basketball. But don't give me that. Don't give me this. They were men, and they were goons.
No. It's every once in a while where the refs actually let them play ball. But I hate citing the refs as a factor. I know they are, but I hate doing it. I just think that Miami is a different basketball team in the playoffs.
No, I agree with that as well. But I'm just saying, like, you know, if Chicago's approach in that series will be, we're just going to beat the crap out of the Heat. Well, what you're going to do is LeBron's going to live at the line.
Yep.
I don't know if that's what they want their strategy to be. You know, if they're going to do that, what they actually need is they need to take a page from the old Bulls teams. They need to have somebody play the Dennis Rodman role and get under somebody's skin. Try to get yourself,
that's what they did. They got under Miami's skin in that Chicago game.
They got under the skin in a physical way, but yeah. Not, I'm talking like in an annoying way. In a way that you can bait a player who's supposed to be a star into doing flagrant fouls or maybe even getting kicked out of game. Like something like that. Yeah. Rodman used to be great at that.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I don't know. I agree. I mean, I don't know who's going to do it, but I think the Heat will be somewhat tested at some point. But I agree. I think they really are a totally different team. If you're the sort of NBA fan who doesn't really pay attention that much during the regular season, you may not realize how different they are than last regular season.
Yeah.
Honestly, the Bosch injury during the last playoffs changed them.
Yeah, it did.
You know, the veteran acquisitions they made this year worked out really well.
Yeah.
They
love,
are.
Love Birdman on that team.
Birdman, it turns out to be perfect for them.
Yep.
Love Birdman. Why didn't they draft Percy Jones?
I don't know. I have no
Wouldn't
idea.
Wouldn't he be a perfect rookie for them?
Yes.
They'd be frighteningly good.
Yes.
He'd be that one extra, like, yeah. Because there's a bunch of, like, there are a bunch of guys between, like, with the exception of Wade. Most of them are, and I should say, with the exception of some of the smaller guards, but a lot of their team is, like, all dudes between, like, 6'5 and 6'9. Right? They're just really rangy. Very long, but not particularly tall. And, no, Birdman's perfect for them. Reinventing his career.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So who you got in the finals? So it's not, you don't automatically think it's OKC.
I mean, I guess by default, I guess. I believed at the beginning of the season, I would have said Miami and Clippers. Clippers are not, you know, if they get past Memphis, they definitely don't get past OKC. So I guess by default, it's the Clippers. I wouldn't be, had Tony Parker not rolled his ankle, I would have definitely said the Spurs would give him a run. But no, nah, I guess it'll be Miami OKC again, and Miami beats them in five again.
Five.
Yeah, five.
Yeah, I could see that.
They're not ready, and they don't have Harden.
You think you think that'll matter?
Yeah, because even in the series, they took Harden out the game. Like, Harden was a non-factor in the playoffs. Harden was a non-factor, and Durant was a non-factor. All they had was Westbrook. And when Westbrook is your anchor, it's done deal for you.
Mm.
Westbrook. Because that one game, I think the one game that they almost won, where I think it was Durant, like, tried to draw that foul and they didn't call it. Westbrook had, like, what, like 48 or something like that?
Yeah, Westbrook, he puts up numbers in the playoffs.
He does put up numbers. When he wants to play, he's just not efficient. You have to be efficient, especially in playoffs and in big game situations like that. You got to be efficient. He's not efficient. He put up numbers, but can he put up numbers efficiently? No, not yet.
So in the East, you think Chicago wins against Brooklyn in the first round?
Yes. Brooklyn's terrible.
I don't think Brooklyn's terrible.
No, the first half of their season, yes. After the All-Star break, they just
Williams is playing better now.
Yeah. That goes six games. That goes six games. Miami's sitting waiting on them. Milwaukee blows through Chicago in five, maybe six. New York beats Boston. I want to say seven, but probably six. So Indiana to Atlanta in like five.
So it's New York, Indiana, and you got New York.
I've got New York and Miami in the finals.
Yep.
New York wins. I say Miami wins in six.
And then out west, you got
probably OKC in San Antonio, and OKC wins in six.
I think San Antonio might struggle.
They're hurt.
I would
because Ginobili's not playing the first few games.
They're not the same team.
But it's the Spurs, though.
They come to the end of the year with like at their strongest. That's the whole point why Pop rests guys throughout the year. But they're not. They're not in that mode. I think Houston will give them a little bit more than people think.
I think so too.
And then, like, let's say Denver looks strong. So you'd have San Antonio potentially with a longer series than they'd like against Houston. Then they got to go play some home games up in Denver against a team that wants to run them out the building. I think they might struggle with Denver.
Denver's got to get past Golden State.
I agree. If it's Golden State, San Antonio's
destroy them.
But if it's a strong Denver team trying to run San Antonio out of the building, San Antonio, they might be in some trouble.
I think this is Steph Curry's coming out party. I think this is Steph Curry's coming out party. I think he goes to Denver and he goes off.
Oh, he'll definitely have at least one or two games where he does that, but
I think he goes off. I like Golden State, man. I like them. They have a pretty good team. I like them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They've really built their team up well.
Yeah, and I like Mark Jackson as a coach. I like him with young guys. Shout out to Doug Collins for leaving Philly too.
Did that happen today?
What's today? Wednesday? Monday.
Monday.
Yeah, he's like, I'm out after this season. I'm done.
I don't blame him.
Bynum. Bynum's the cancer of this team. That's funny. So who do you see in the finals?
It's predictable. I think it's Miami OKC.
Okay.
I do. I'd love it. I'd love Denver. I really like Denver. I'd love it to be Denver, but the Western Conference Finals.
Mm.
That's their ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think they can get past OKC. But, you know, we got to see, you know, every year we have the same problem. It gets to be the playoffs, and Westbrook can't decide if he's going to let Durant take the last shot or if he thinks he wants to do it.
Right.
You know, Miami had to figure this out, and it works because they defer to LeBron, and sometimes LeBron takes it, sometimes somebody else takes it.
Yep.
You know, I don't think Westbrook has figured that out yet, 100%. He strikes me as one of those guys who, you know, when he's after the game, he's like, you know, if you talk to him privately, he's like, yeah, I'm the best player on the team. Of course I am. You got to know your role. Absolutely. You want confidence, but you got to know your role. Right? Wade knows that he's not the best player on that team anymore. He knows that.
Yeah.
Begrudgingly, maybe, but he knows it.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think Westbrook knows that yet. What?
I'm just laughing at Westbrook. Westbrook is hilarious.
And the thing is that, you know, he's going to have games where you walk away and you're like, man, he's the best point guard in the league.
Yeah.
But then you have games where you're like, oh, why did he do that?
all the time.
All right, man. So I think that's it, right?
Yeah, I think we're done.
So thank you, everybody, for listening once again. Please check out previous episodes, clockradiospeakers.com. Don't forget, if you want to ask us a question, you can either use the hashtag on Twitter, clockradiospeakers, or you can do clockradiospeakers.com/ask. follow us both on Twitter. Rate and review us on iTunes. Don't forget, this is kairos.com. Make sure to pre-order. Listen to Genesis Revelation, the first single.
Yep.
Am I missing anything, man?
Nah, I think we're good.
All right, see y'all later.